Our panicky flight through the valve had imbued us with momentum that carried us outward toward the wall of the core, which was rotating about as fast as the second hand on a clock. This meant that when we drifted into the wall, it was moving past us at a brisk walking pace. This part of the core wall was covered with a grid with convenient hand-sized holes between the bars, so we did what came naturally and grabbed it. The effect was gentle but inexorable acceleration that made our feet spin out to find purchase on the grid. We were now rotating along with everything else. Here our body weight was less than that of a newborn infant, but it was the most gravity we had known for a long time, and took a little getting used to. We clung to it for a couple of minutes, gasping for air, trying not to black out. Then Fra Jad, never one to discuss his plans and intentions with his traveling companions, pushed off and glided along the core wall, headed for the first of the four great nexi that were spaced evenly along its length. Travel was easier in micro than in zero gravity because we slowly fell to the core wall, where we could always push off and get another dose of momentum. Available was a sort of rapid transit system, consisting of a moving conveyor belt cum ladder that glided up one side of the core and down the other. Most of the people we could see, perhaps 100, heavily skewed toward soldiers and firefighters, were using it. The rungs were elastic, so that when you grabbed one, it didn't simply jerk your arm from its socket. Tired as I was tempted to have a go, but didn't want to make a spectacle of myself. Fra Jad showed no interest. We moved more slowly than those who were using it, which worked to our advantage. Some of them shouted questions at us as they glided by, but none was inquisitive enough to jump off and pursue the conversation. In a few minutes, we came to the station in the core where the forwardmost orbs, 1, 5, 9, and 13, were connected. Each of these stood at the head of a stack of four. So orbs 1 through 4 were for Newtons, 5 through 8 were Troan, 9 through 12 were Lateran, and the rest, Phothosian. By convention, the lowest number orb in each stack, the ones that connected here at the heads of the stacks, were for the highest-ranking members of their respective races. So this nexus was the most convenient place for the geometer's VIPs to meet. From where we were, it didn't look like much, just four cavernous holes in the wall, the termini of perpendicular shafts leading out to the orbs. According to Jules, though, if we were to look at it from the outside, we would see that this part of the core was wrapped in a donut of offices, meeting chambers, and ring corridors where the command had its offices. Several hatches in the core wall hinted at this, but conflict between Pedestal and Fulcrum had led to a division of the command torus into parts of unequal size. Hatches had been locked, partitions welded into place, guards posted, cables severed. None of which concerned us very much, since the space we were in served only as a service corridor or elevator shaft, rarely visited or thought about by the command. Of much greater interest to us were the four huge orifices in the core wall. As we drifted into the nexus, we were able to gaze into these and see tubular shafts, each about 20 feet in diameter, each leading down about a quarter of a mile. At the bottom of each was another huge ball valve, currently closed. Beyond each such valve was an inhabited orb a mile wide. It wasn't difficult to identify the shaft leading to Orb 1. A large numeral was painted on the core wall next to it. The numeral was Ernewton, but any sentient being from any cosmos could recognize it as the glyph that represented Unity, One, a single copy of something. I, however, did not have time to linger and contemplate its profound meaning, as Fra Jad had already located a ladder bracketed to the wall of the shaft and begun to descend it. I followed him. Gravity slowly came on as we went. It's hard to describe how terrible this made me feel. The only thing that kept me from passing out was fear I'd let go of the rungs and fall down on top of Fra Jad. During the worst spell, a voice drilled into my awareness and made my skull buzz. Fra Jad had begun to sing some thousander chant, like the one that had kept me awake at the Bayesian Monastery on the night we had been evoked. It gave my consciousness something to hold on to, like the steel ladder rung that I was gripping with my hand, my only hard, tangible link to the giant complex spinning around me. And in the same way that the rung kept me from falling, the sound of Jad's voice in my skull kept my mind from floating away to wherever it had gone when I had passed out in the observatory and awoken on the wrong world track. I kept descending.